The Mayo Football Podcast. I'm Rob Murphy, and a very special episode, not just looking ahead to round six of the National Football League. We've got more exciting things to talk about. New York, our big show, our big trip. It's all arranged on the show today. To tell you more about it are three other men who are traveling with me. Mike Finnerty, how are you?
Rob, what could be possibly more exciting than Mayo Derry on St. Patrick's Day at 4:15? But you're right, it's had its thunder stolen by the news that we've popped up on social media tonight. We dropped a hint or two a few weeks back on the pod.
Yes.
That, yes indeed, the Mayo Football Podcast is going to New York. So if you're heading over, or you're over there already, and you've got no plans for the Friday night before the match, which is the 5th of April, in case you're scrambling for your diary, we're going to be in the Joyce Public House on 315 West 39th Street. Google Maps tells me 10 minutes walk from Times Square. And we're going to be having a bit of crack, because what's a big match without a bit of crack? We're calling it over for the match, or out for the match even. We're working on the title.
Yeah.
We were toying with up for the match, and we thought that's been done before. So we're going to go with out for the match. And over the next while, we'll chat a bit more about the night itself. But the important thing is, Rob, we're going.
Yes, we're definitely going. We figured we would have to be going because, John, where Mayo go, we go. How are you, John?
I'm good. Yeah. And I'll be hungry for action at that stage, of course, Rob, because I'm going to miss the Monaghan game. I hope Kevin McStay does something similar and doesn't play any of his first teamers that day, so we're all nice and fresh and rested for the Big Apple.
I'll just play the role of wanting a league final. The last man on our show today is also going to New York. He's the big reveal, really, and not for our podcast, because, like, let's be honest, he's one of the.
How could we go to New York without Boyle or
us? I had a bigger intro than that. Colin Boyle, how are you?
Great, lads. Great, yeah. I'm delighted, Mike. Revealed a few details there about New York, and you didn't ask me, Rob, because I didn't have a clue what was happening and where we're going. But I've just
you're
been
on
told.
A need to know basis, yeah. Boyle. Yeah, you're on a need to know basis.
Just be careful, Colm. Is this the way it's going to work? Are you just going to be coming up to me? Where are we going now, Rob? Where are we going?
Yes, exactly.
Where's my bag?
You're going to be my wife for the weekend, Rob.
Oh God!
Take a ticket, Rob. Take a ticket. Join the queue.
It's kind of ironic, isn't it, though? You know, you're the only man who knows about anything about the weekend in New York from the footballing point of view. How many times did you play in the column?
Twice. Yeah, right. Twice, actually. Actually played there, actually only played in Ruislip once. So actually played in New York on two occasions. But I actually expect it to be similar to the trip, because when you go on these trips, you're just told where to go, what time you need to be there, what time the bus is picking you up. So I'm expecting very similar things on this trip with the lads.
Would you say, no pressure, Boyle, that Rob is the Liam Ludden of the podcast?
There's only one Liam Ludden. Only one Liam Ludden, lads. I'm sorry. No, there's only one Liam Ludden.
Here's a stat. Ludds was brought into the Mayo setup in 2005 by the Mickey Moran setup. Kieran Gallagher was a selector that time as well, I remember. And obviously John Morrison came down as well, the late, great John Morrison. And I remember being told that that guy over there who's picking up the footballs and organising the grids and helping out, that's Liam Ludden. You're going to see a lot more of him. And here we are nearly 20 years later, Boyle, and Ludds has survived every single management team that has come and gone since. And great bit of stuff. He's got Kieran O'Boyle from Cross Malina in this year helping him out just to share the workload. But he's a real unsung hero, isn't he?
He's an absolute legend. An absolute legend, lads. Honest to God, the work that fella does behind the scenes. Like, there's nothing he doesn't do or wouldn't do for you and have for your game day or have for you on a training session. And he has this unique ability that no matter what gear you've on you and you take off to a training or if you lose something, he will find it. And I think actually Evan Regan was going through a phase of hanging his gum shield around the pitch to see could Ludds find it after training, and Ludds would definitely find the gum shield. He's just unbelievable. But and such a sound man on top of it. But he, like, literally with Ludds, it's a military operation. And apps for game day for Ludds is military. And it's amazing. Like, win, lose, or draw after the game, his routine is the same. He comes in the dressing room and does his routine, no matter what the result is, because that's just what his focus, and that's what he's there to do. Like, you know, and it's brilliant to see him in action. But good to hear his help now. Yeah, he's pushing on like the rest of us lads. So, yeah.
I think we might need Luds, Rob, to come to New York with us.
No, I've got this. I mean, whether the podcast goes well or not, I have a plan afterwards and I'm going to deliver on it. I won't let you down, lads. I won't let you down. Actually, speaking of kitmen, I was just doing some research on on USA 94, and I found out something I did not know about that game, that the Irish team landed in the tunnel against Italy in the exact same colours as Italy, because they were both in their away strips, and Charlie O'Leary got one hell of a telling off.
Would not have happened if Luds was on duty.
That's what I'm thinking. Do O'Leary. That's what I reckon. Yeah. Anyways, looking forward. You were there twice. How did the games go? How did you find the football?
The football, different.
No one talks about that.
Ask me an easier one, spoiler.
No one talks about the football.
My abiding memory of New York, and well, it's probably one of my first memories. Well, first of all, when you walk in and you're kind of walking through the tent and all the supporters where they're out and they're having beers before the game. But I think you share the dressing room, or back then anyway, so the dressing room, you had to walk out to go to the bathroom with everyone else. So I remember coming in at halftime. We got a bit of a rollicking off warm because we weren't playing well. I think we were winning the game well, but we weren't actually playing well. And I walk out, go to the bathroom, and I just remember some fella in a straw hat, Mayo jersey on him, and me there at the cubicle ready to go, and him just pulling me as I was doing my business. So yeah, that's my abiding memory of New York.
Did he know who he was messing with, Boiler?
I don't know.
Yeah, that confirms something John Prenti told me the other week. He said about Gaelic Park, he said the one thing about it is there's only one Jacks in the place.
They obviously haven't upgraded it since.
Oh, the joys.
Something tells me we'll have as much comfort, if not more comfort, lads, in the joys on the Friday night, because just to fill in a little bit of the background, we've been working away for the last few weeks in the background with the Mayo Gaelic Football Club of New York, to give them their full title. Marcus Hannick, former teammate of Boyler back in 2006. They won All-Ireland Under-21 medals together. Marcus is from Killala. He's now the chairman of the Mayo Club out in New York, and we're going to hear from him on the pod, actually, over the next couple of weeks. But Marcus has been a great help to us in getting things organised on that side of the Atlantic, and he has informed me that the Joyce is ready and waiting for an invasion of Mayo supporters that night. And we're delighted as well to have John Casey joining us. John, of course, who will forever be known now as the husband of the Mayo Person of the Year 2024. Rita was in Dublin last weekend to pick up her award. And speaking to John earlier, a good time was had by all. I think he should be just back in one piece in time to go to New York in about a month's time. But yeah, John is joining us on the night. Boyler, obviously, as you said, will be there. The three of us will be there, and we're lining up some other special guests as well, because we just want to give people who are going over and coming to New York for the match just a flavour of the weekend, have a bit of crack. It'll be very much, the emphasis will be on crack and war stories. We're hoping to get a flavour of life in New York as well, and what it's like for Mayo people over there. And just generally, like, one of the big motivations for us in putting this together was because we've all been there in London and New York over the years when we've gone over for the games, and there's nothing worse than on the Friday or the Saturday. Boyler, you'd be fairly new to this, obviously. You've only just retired. You were all locked up in the hotel or drinking coffee somewhere in some expensive barista. But there's nothing worse than Mayo supporters wandering the streets looking for somewhere to go on the Friday or the Saturday night, and bemoaning the fact that nothing was organised, and it's a pity there isn't something on, and maybe we'll go in here. And of course, now in New York, the fact that Eugene Rooney's bars have closed means there isn't a natural sort of a home or a gathering point. So we thought a few months back, why don't we put something on in New York, organise it ourselves, and then let the Mayo people come in and enjoy themselves. And I suppose the kickback then for the Mayo Club in New York is that all the proceeds from the night will be going to them. They're doing a lot of great work over there to keep Gaelic football alive and to give football to Mayo people who go over. They're putting a big emphasis now on recruiting Mayo lads and ladies who go over. So the fact that we can help them out as well is a bonus.
it's a mad thing that we have this opportunity, John, to do this. I mean, like, Connacht is the only province that has these trips, and some have said before it's bloody appropriate, really, because the west of Ireland is where most people emigrated from. But it's an incredible opportunity just to bring people together on a huge trip. You didn't experience it the last time. You experienced London with us when we did that famous pod way back in 2017 before the All-Ireland final. But yeah, we're kind of fortunate to have it. Maybe it won't be lasting forever, so it's there to be enjoyed.
Yeah, and I think it is there to be enjoyed. I think that's the thing. It's the event itself. I mean, I would have mixed feelings about it in the wider sense, you know, in terms of where does it fit in, given the new structures and given the pressures of the championship. But I guess these matches were both the London and the New York games were introduced into the championship for a very special, very specific reason, you know, which was to give the people living in both areas their day in the sun, if you like. And I think we are lucky that that we do have days out like this. And they're kind of unique experiences. So I've never been on any of them before, even when I lived in London, because I remember I had exams coming up. I think I might have an exam the day after the match in Ruislip, and I just couldn't spare the day. So even when I was an immigrant myself, I didn't go to it then. So I'm really looking forward to this, because it will be a whole new experience for me.
What do you think, Mike, on that? And we bring Boyle in as well, obviously, but like the just the football element. I mean, if something goes wrong, Mayo lost a game to London this year already. It's not beyond the bounds of possibility that Mayo lose to New York. It seems highly, highly, highly unlikely. But like, you know, these are sporting events. Things can happen.
I'm sure this time last year, Rob, it probably seemed highly unlikely to the lads on the Leitrim football podcast. And before they knew it, they were being beaten by New York. And it's all fun and games until somebody goes over and gets caught. And I've been there, this is my fifth time going over for the Mayo game. And obviously I've listened and watched to the other matches as well. And we've always said it, Boyler, like one of those years, somebody was going to get caught. I mean, Galway got a scare. Kevin McStay, I think, still isn't right after how close Roscommon were to getting ambushed. I remember reading about it in his book, and Kevin thought Roscommon were gone. He thought they were in dire straits. Well, and I think he said in the book, didn't he?
Was it 2016, 2017?
Yeah,
17,
something
yeah.
like that. Yeah.
17.
He says in the book, his main thought was like, how am I going to face them, you know, when I go home? How am I going to spin this, basically? And then, of course, I'm sure, Boyler, your heart went out to Andy last year. I mean, look, New York won the game fair and square. But a bit like that near escape in London in 2011, like there, but for the grace of God, went Galway, Roscommon. Mayo, in fairness, have always got on top and sort of wore them down and I suppose blitzed them really eventually. But like Leitrim were ended up being the punchline, I suppose, and the guys that were forevermore going to be known as the team that New York turned over.
Yeah, and look, Mike, you said it there. Probably it was always going to happen at some stage, and I suppose who was going to get caught? It was more than likely going to be a Leitrim or Sligo, probably. And it was very nearly Sligo the year before. I think, did that game go to extra time? If not, yeah, it was very, very close to doing so. So it was always going to happen. And you're funny, you mentioned that game against Leitrim last year. I remember I was actually in Glasgow. I was over Celtic and Rangers, but the game was on the Saturday night or the Sunday night. And I just remember picking up my phone. I just remember the game was on. And I see Leitrim a couple of points down with a few minutes to go. I know it goes to extra time and penalties, but my heart sank for Andy when I looked at the phone and I saw there were a couple of points down. Honestly, it really did. And then obviously speaking to him, the aftermath, like what he went through after that, you know what I mean? It was really, really tough. But obviously he's recovered from that. And I think that experience, similar probably to James Horne, I know James Horne gets the result in 2011 against London. But I think that result as a manager will probably only improve Andy, I would say. But New York, I would say, like I'm only guessing this. I would imagine that they really targeted them 2 years, that 2 year period where they'd Sligo and Leitrim back to back and say, right, this is our chance now. We have to take out one of these two. And like I said, they very nearly did it Sligo the year before. And then they've Leitrim come on the following year. So they put everything into that. And look, it goes down to a penalty kick at the end of the day. Will we have any issues like that? No, we won't. I don't expect any major trouble during the game. Even though, Rob, you said it there, the London game in January, me and Mike might be a bit of a bad omen because we were there that day in the commentary box. So I hope history won't repeat itself again, Mike.
Lads, lads.
That's all we need.
Lads. Do you, is there, Colm, if you were, you're in coaching a bit, is there a way to approach a game where you're absolutely nailed on to win? Like, is there a strategy? Is there any psychological way to approach a game like this?
Look, I think experience has a lot to do with it, Rob. Like, there's a lot of experienced characters in that dressing when you go through with Killeen and Naden and Paddy Durkin, of course, and Jeremy and all these boys who have been there and seen it all at this stage. So nothing's going to faze them guys. Obviously, the younger guys that mightn't have seen anything like this before in Ruislip and New York, they'll have a chat about how different it is and just the carnival atmosphere that's around the place. You know what I mean? And even getting used to the fact that you could look around the stand and even half the people around the place mightn't even be watching the game. They're sitting around and they're ordering drinks or they're listening to music or they're doing something else. You know, it's getting used to all that. But sometimes, Rob, you can over-talk it too and you can try and convince yourself that, yes, this will be a tough game and we need to be our absolute maximum here and if we don't, we can lose the game. But the reality is going into a game like this for Mayo, you know what I mean? They're too experienced, they're too good and they won't be in any bother at all.
Just on the on the experience, Boyle, on the pitch, what's it like? Because I've only ever seen the footage of it. It looks like it's marked out for American football, and it's some. It's I wouldn't insult it by calling it a 4G pitch. It must be 1G or 2G by the looks of it.
And then
you have the elevated train over the far side. And it seems to be just weird.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
What's all that like to play in? Like, can you zone out a lot of it, or do you just have to adapt to it?
I'd say it's probably the closest thing maybe to Roy Keane's car park in Saipan that you could play on, I'd say. It's weird, yeah, because the lines on the pitch you went to, John, you haven't a clue where you are on the pitch because there's so many lines all over the place that it is something very, very different. But like the boys would probably be out there training maybe the day before. If not, they might go 2 days ago. They might go Friday and Saturday just to get a feel for it and to get a look around the pitch. So once you kind of get over the initial 15, 20 minutes, because New York always start with a bit of a bang and they'll come with a bit of energy and they'll have boys there looking to lay a bit on you and looking to lay down a bit of a marker and get the crowd going, because I'm sure like they rely on that and they rely on that energy. And once you kind of get over that and the gaps start to open up then and the gaps start to appear, that's when you'll find Mayo will get the couple of points to start to pull ahead. Like I said, the gaps will appear, they'll stretch ahead. And, you know, after that, it's just a normal game. But I think it was 19 lads the last time we were there. It was a horrific day. Like the weather, it was so dead.
Yeah.
It was so dead on the pitch because everyone was deflated on the sidelines because they were getting absolutely saturated. I was only talking to my mum about it yesterday. And like she said, it was miserable out there. Like they were saturated. There was no atmosphere, there was no buzz around the place at all because we were winning the game handy and I think everyone there, you know, probably midway through that second half just wanted to get out of there, you know what I mean? Especially after a couple of heavy days maybe before that. So, look, hopefully the weather will be on our side this time and, yeah, that will get a decent game.
The reason, Boyler, you could see me nodding along there as you were talking was because I was ticking all those boxes. There had been a few heavy nights and we were absolutely drenched to the skin after about 10 minutes and the game was done and everybody was getting wetter and more miserable and they just wanted to get back to the Irish pub, I think, back to Rooney's, where I think the roof was taken clean off at about 2 o'clock in the morning. But you mentioned there about leaving something on. I'm kind of waiting with interest to see the New York squad or to get even some concrete news out of New York on who will be involved, because I've heard in the last couple of weeks that the three Clare lads, three lads who would have played with Clare in the last few years, Keane O'Dea, Keelan Sexton, Pierce Lillis, are all involved with New York. And I was in the Dome first week of January and Keane O'Dea was over with the New York Hurlers and he absolutely wore into Owen Collins, who he would have played football with in Clare in previous years that night. Like Keane is a very abrasive sort of footballer. If you don't mind me saying, Boyler, he's a bit of you about him. Like he doesn't stand back. He certainly gets a lot of the time gets the job of picking up, you know, the opposition team's danger man. And then Lillis is a big man, obviously, and Sexton's a really good footballer. So yeah, it'll be interesting to see, I suppose, just who exactly is talking with them. And I think you're right. Yeah, the first 20 minutes, they'll have to try and bring something. But the other thing that came into my head there just when you were talking, Boyler, is the fact that I think it's telling as well, Rob. You go back 20 years, the first time Mayo went over, I remember it so clearly. On the Friday night, there was a massive banquet held, and all the team were there, county board. There was a few hundred people at the function as a fundraiser for the Mayo Club in New York. You fast forward 20 years, and I think because of the fact that Galway, Sligo and Roscommon have all been run close at different stages by New York, a lot of those sideshows now have been phased out as the years have gone by. And from what I can gather, this time around, Mayo are doing absolutely nothing by way of social events or fundraisers or functions or anything like that. And that was probably your experience, Boyler, too. I know certainly in 2014, the less said about it, the better. Now time heals and all that. But yeah, Mayo decided on the spot, more or less, one night to not attend a function or an event, and it caused holy war at the time. But you know, it probably was a sign that you know, teams were really keen to stay in the zone, stay on the schedule, keep their focus where it should be. And then obviously on the night of the game, you let lads off the leash, and maybe if there's a training camp the week after, you can obviously blow off some steam.
But it shows, doesn't it, like the conflict between the original idea of this fixture, I think in particular, which is kind of a day out or a bit of Ireland going over to New York, and a real championship game. And I think, like, in the old world, everyone had their allotted role. Like the Irish team came over one-handedly, you know, the gallant New York team put up a fair display and had the good manners to lose without any fuss, you know. But where that starts to cross over, as you say, Mike, that then changes everything else, because if it all exists in the old world, well, then everyone can do all those things and you can have all the fun of the fair. But if there's any chance at all they're going to win, and remember, like Jamie Clark from Armagh was playing for New York. He might have been playing, well, I don't know if he was playing for the Leitrim game, but he was there certainly the year before as well. So they had a few fairly heavy hitters there for a while. And if you're the three Clare lads, obviously that's going to boost them as well. So yeah, so I think there is that tension between exactly what is this fixture for, and that then plays out in terms of how the whole event goes.
Yeah, and I think Mike, what you're saying there, we'll go back to 2014, I suppose, for listeners that might know. I think we didn't know what was happening as players, really. We thought, we were told we were going to dinner. We ended up in a golf club, and obviously there was people there, but we were kind of ushered into a separate room off the golf course and had our bit of food. And basically we left pretty much straight away and got in a bus and went into, we're basically shaking hands with people as we were left, and nice to meet you kind of thing. And off we go on the bus and go home. But we didn't know much about what was happening or why we were there, or what we were supposed to be doing. And it was extremely unfortunate, I suppose, because I know from talking to people after that since, an awful lot of people put a lot of time and a lot of effort and a lot of money into that night and into that function. But thinking about it since, and thinking about like James Horn, like James was mentally scared from Ruislip in 2011. Absolutely he was, because there was horror stories. I wasn't involved then, as you lads know, but from listening to the boys in the years or two after, like there was absolute horror stories from Ruislip in 11, and Horn's career never nearly ended in Ruislip that day before it ever took off. And I think he was just completely, when he was going to New York in 14, he had one focus. It was a military operation. Go to New York, be a professional outfit, win the game and get yourselves out of there. And that was his only plan going out there. And unfortunately, well, not unfortunately, that's the road that we all followed. But I think when we went out there in 19, it was actually very, very different. James has obviously was back for his second term, was his first year back. It was far more relaxed. I think we actually did attend a couple of functions, and we did something on the Saturday, I think, as well. There was kind of memorial event for around the 9/11 and stuff like that.
Yeah, we all went at the there. Garden, yeah.
Yeah, at the garden. Like there was a few bits going on. Yeah, and we were at something on the Friday night as well. So it was far more relaxed. But that's because he was more experienced as a manager, number one. But obviously he trusted his team, because we were far more experienced as a team. There was absolutely no danger that our prep was going to be like it was in Ruislip in 2011 for them boys. We were going to be there focused and knowing we were there to win a game and get out there and get home.
The two things, just while I can think of them, Rob, from 2011, if memory serves me right, Mayo flew to Southend via Waterford. Mm. There was a brief stop off in Waterford, and it was the night of the Champions League final, the night before the game. And by the time the bus got to the hotel, the lads settled down to watch, I think, the second half possibly, and had a feed of spuds as well, I think, because that's the only time they could eat because they were running so late. And then obviously the following day, nearly got ambushed by London. So if James was a bit uptight going to New York in 2014, it's easy to see why.
Listen, just on a final point on this, because we'll have loads of time to talk about New York right up to and including the big night in Joyce's, which, if you haven't heard by now and you're just kind of tuning your mind into it, is on the Friday night. It's kicking off at 8 o'clock, which gives Boyler enough time to get off his plane.
Is it though, Rob, really?
Is it enough time?
I wonder, is it 8 for 9?
By the sound of things, I'm going to have to like go out to the airport and collect him. Oh, sorry, you meant, is it 8 for 9? Yeah, I get your point now.
It all depends on the limo driver, lads. It all depends on him.
Oh, God.
We're paying him cash, Boyler, so he better be there on time.
Oh, God. I knew this was going to overrun in the expenses. on a key point here, Boyler, like I remember Connacht were away in Russia once and they had a mad experience. And like every single player, it was 2 years later, they won the Pro 12 title, which was just off the charts, unthinkable when professional rugby started. And every player said that trip. Oh, now I'm not saying New York is going to be akin to kind of going to Siberia to play a game, but GA teams don't get to do this, not in the middle of the season. Mm. If you were trying to build, if you were involved in the management team, you can really utilize this, can't you? And players can get a lot out of something like this, right?
Ah, you can. Look, I suppose it's a good experience as a player to get away for a couple of days just as a group, number one. You know, can we get a whole pie more out of it? I'm not sure. Like, I remember 2019, we stayed out there when training in the, Mike had to remind me the name of the place, but the Rocklands for 3 or 4 days after it. Do you know what I mean? So I think back then we definitely got something out of it, but then we got bit by Roscommon a couple of weeks later, first round of the championship. So it's very fine margins that we're talking about. But I just think now boys are so experienced and so got their heads screwed on that they'll just be looking to get over there, get the win, have a bit of crack as well and a good time, especially after the game on the Sunday night. But after that, then it's home on Monday, and it's such a short turnaround now to the Roscommon game. It's the Sunday week after they get home, isn't it, from the trip? Like, so like you've no time to enjoy yourself, really. You're back on the horse straight away, and we won't even mention that we could be in a league final the Sunday before we go. But
yeah, I was just going to mention that very thing, Boyler. I mean just how important is it that we're not in Croke Park?
Ah, I don't know how it'll have no effect on the New York game or the result. I don't think. Kevin McStay has been extremely clear, probably is the most clearest of all the managers I would say out there, that he absolutely does not want to be in the league final. And I suppose before we move on to talk about Sunday, does that have a direct influence on Sunday and the type of team he's playing and how they view the game? You probably say it does, yeah, because we're in a good position, absolutely. We're probably 95% safe. There's no chance really of us going down.
Yeah, and here's the thing, like both Monaghan and Roscommon are playing on the Saturday.
Yeah.
So if both of them lose, then we're absolutely safe.
We're done.
Neither of them can catch us then.
Yeah.
So that actually changes the game altogether then. Not only for Monaghan but for Derry as well, because we could say, right, okay, we literally don't need any more points, so the best way to ensure this is to play the C team, not even the B team.
Yeah, having said that, John and Boyler, you look at the points difference and you realise Mayo could easily beat Derry and Monaghan by a couple of points and they're not getting to a league final by it. Like, again, I'm just saying that in the sense that expecting that Kerry and Dublin get the results that you expect them to get and Derry get a result in the final game. So I think the way the league table is planned out is you can fairly risk-free have a right go at winning the last two games, because you're not going to win by that much anyways in either game.
But what's he going to do, Boyler? Is Kevin McStay going to put out his strongest possible team against Derry to try and build momentum and chemistry and, you know, morale, keep morale high? Or realistically, are you expecting a sort of a 50-50 split, even where there are like 4, 5, 6 changes from the team that started the last night, and you know, you get a sort of a mix 'em gather 'em, and right, lads, go out and prove yourselves?
I'll be honest, Mike, I've absolutely no idea. And I don't, I have no idea what kind of Derry team is going to land down to McHale Park either. And look, it's the fact that we're even talking about this is a real shame, because Mayo against Derry on Paddy's Day should be a game we're really looking forward to. And we shouldn't be second guessing what kind of team are Mayo going to put out and what kind of team are Derry going out. And it's so disappointing that it's gone to this stage really in the league. I think the GAA, going off topic, are really going to have to look at this, because this can't continue, because the supporters are going to cop on, they have copped onto this already, and they're just not going to, they'll vote with their feet and they just won't go to games. You'll see crowd attendances go down, and I already see it on Sunday, Paddy's Day, 4 o'clock, it's not an ideal throw-in time. You can already see the attendance has been down on Sunday, especially when they're not sure, like, what exactly is on the line here. Is there anything on the line? If there's not, why would I bother going to Castlebar on a bank holiday Sunday at 4 o'clock on Paddy's Day, driving through parades and stuff like that? So I don't know. Look, that's one for the GAA to solve down the line. But what will Kevin McStay do? If I had to put money on it, I'd be edging on the side that he's going to make changes. Yeah, how many he's going to make, I wouldn't say probably 8 like he did in Tyrone, but I could definitely see maybe 3 to 5 changes from the last day out.
Yeah, but it's such a good point as well, Colin, because if you look at the Monaghan game last year, people saw through that straight away. The attendance for that game was way below all of the other home matches, and people an awful lot of people made up their minds, say, yeah, this one isn't worth going to. And I think, moreover, if we are safe after Saturday, I think that could put a big dent in the attendance for Sunday.
But where does that leave Mayo Boiler if they do put out a team with 4 or 5 changes and they get beaten by Derry, and let's say the performance isn't great? Where does that leave the players then heading into the Monaghan game, which again may or may not be a dead rubber? They're probably safe already. There's the prospect the following week of going to New York. I mean, you then have the prospect of 3 games in a row that Mayo kind of sleepwalk through. And then a fortnight later, they have to get up to peak championship level to play the Rossies. Like, it is, it's not an exact science, and we'll all be, of course, wise in hindsight after the Hyde. But that prospect I outlined there could well happen, couldn't it?
It absolutely could, yeah. And look at, let's go back 12 months ago, and obviously playing Galway in a league final and then playing the Rossies a week later, like, that didn't work for us either. Like, so where's the happy medium in all this? Like ideally we go out and beat Derry and we beat Monaghan and we probably don't hit up in the league final. So at least we've some kind of momentum going into the New York game, you know, that, and obviously into the Roscommon game, more importantly. That's the kind of ideal scenario. But that's not going to be easy, especially if you're making changes. And especially, like, realistically, no matter what Derry team lands down, they're still going to be very, very tough to beat. If Mayo, the reason I'd like to see Mayo win on Sunday more than anything is just the fact that we're home and we seem to have kind of, I know we lost to Roscommon there in the championship. I'm not even counting the Monaghan game because there was 13 or 14 changes last year. But our home record has improved. And obviously we've beaten Dublin there, beaten Roscommon there. And I'd just like to see that continue. Derry on home soil on Sunday, I'd just like to see us win this game for no other reason really than that. But does this put us up or down hugely? I don't think so, really.
I was just going to say, Boiler, then in your last comment there probably rules out this question, but would you like to see, ideally then, Kevin put out his strongest team to try and build the chemistry, you know, build the combinations, get guys in sync with each other and beat the best team that Derry bring down or whatever they bring down? And as you said, whether they get into a league final or not, just keep the momentum going, because I suppose one of the suspicions I have is that right now, I don't think this management team can afford the luxury of playing ducks and drakes with the Derry or perhaps even a Monaghan, because they don't have the credits in the bank, or they don't have enough of momentum built up this season that they can maybe afford to try and switch it off and switch it back on again. It's just maybe another theory.
Yeah, but I suppose if you look at it this way, Mike, we're not going to have a strong seat out because Paddy Durkin's not going to play realistically. Dave McBride's not going to play. Jeremy O'Connor's not going to play. So straight away, we're down 3.
Interesting. I agree with you, Boiler. I don't think they will, but I thought it was interesting that Kevin knocked at least 2 of those 3 injuries on the head fairly quickly after the Roscommon game and more or less told us afterwards, I'd expect to have, I think he said Paddy and Jeremy possibly If not the Derry game, the Monaghan game. Whereas what we're hearing is that it's a longer term thing. But look, that may have just been...
I think he has a bit of form for that, though. I think he might say they'd be in the squad for this game, and then all of a sudden, a couple of squads later, they're still kind of feeding their way back in.
He's learning.
If you're Kevin McStay and there's any doubt about a Paddy Durkin or David McBrien, you're not going to be putting... Giermer, I think he references touch or go for the New York game, so we're definitely not going to see Giermer. But the two boys, McBrien and Paddy, if they're only at 70-80% and only getting back into a block of training, then boys aren't going to be playing against Derry and probably Monaghan, I would say, because they're taking absolutely no risks on them fellas. Not this time of year, not when there's so much serious stuff to come up, probably from the Roscommon game onwards in the Championship. Like, there's too much football to be played later on in the year to be risking fellas now when our safety is probably 95% guaranteed. So then you look at, like, what else other changes you could make. You could go down the lines of, obviously, Matty Ryan needs football. I'm kind of beating the drum here that Killeen needs football. You know, great to see the fellas like in the Hessian back getting football. You can see how much he's developed on the last couple of weeks. The more he plays, the better he gets. Stevie Cohen has improved in games. Michael Plunkett looks like he leads loads of football, you know, with the Championship in mind. So I think if there are changes, like I said, I'd like to see between the 3 and 4 mark max, because I think if you go any further than that, it just leads to a really, you know, unstructured performance, I would say.
John's blog poll before the game is going to be historic, because he won't be asking who's going to win. He'll be asking, who do you want to win? I think that should be the change of the question, there, John.
Are you telling John, or are you just telling us, Rob?
I'm just presuming. Suggesting.
It's up already, and it's kind of Kerry-like, because remember that was famously, nobody thought we'd win that one. And 50% think we're going to lose this one, and only 36% thinks we're going to win. Now, that's... that is extremely pessimistic when you...
It is when you normalize that. It's been raining here for 2 days. People are depressed.
Good weather and bad, it's always glass half full in these polls, you know.
So. This is, I don't know. I still think this is madness. And maybe in the last, I want Mayo to win these games, get to a league final. Honestly. I mean, call me. Go and win this. Especially with New York coming up next. Put a performance down that gives you a bit of belief if you meet Derry later in the year. Blow them on in a way, because they've done it to us a few times. So just finish them off. Get to a league final. Dublin Air going, oh God, it's Mayo. What the hell is it? Well, just get stuck into them. See how we go. Learn more.
Look, you're playing...
Sorry, that's just me. Crazy talk.
No, but you're playing National Schools football, lads, and you're told winning is a habit.
Yeah.
And, you know, Boyler, these guys are elite Gaelic footballers, but the reality is, a run of wins, whether you're going to New York or going to the Hyde, you're bouncing, aren't you? And this crack of, you know, got beaten in Tyrone, then bounced back to beat Roscommon. Maybe you do or don't beat Derry, and then you have a dead rubber against Monaghan. Sure, there's no kind of momentum there at all, or no consistency. And I go right back to that first press conference, Rob, the one we were at the beginning of the year. It came up again and again and again. Paddy Durkin, Darren McHale, Damien Mulligan, Kevin McStay. What's the one thing we're after? Consistency within games and across the season. And we haven't seen it yet.
No, and look, I suppose from a player's point of view, if I was thinking about winning the league title back-to-back, like, that'd be a nice notch to have in your belt. And John might be able to tell me the last time a Mayo team has won a National League back-to-back. You know what I mean? I presume it's happened. If it's happened, I don't know. But
38, I'm guessing.
There you go. Like, you know what I mean? So that, like, just from a player's point of view, that's, you know, that's almost an incentive in itself. But I just don't know why the team in that mind frame, is that something that they're really talking about, or a goal that they're really looking towards? If you can go by Kevin's comments, and I'm saying if, because sometimes a manager can say things to the press that's very, very different to what he's saying inside the four walls of a dressing room.
If really, Boyer? What? No one told me.
What?
Name names, Boyer.
But no, we won't go there. But if that is the case, and Kevin is banging the same drum that he's banging to us, then Mayo won't be in a league final by any stretch of the imagination, because even if they do beat Derry, I could see them maybe going to Clonus, pretty much a replica of what we did in Castlebar last year, and maybe making 12, 13, 14 changes again. Like, so I don't see it happening either way. I don't see us being in that league final, but I would like to see us specifically talk about this game on Sunday. I would like to see us winning that game.
If I'd gone to Cheltenham, I could have asked Lisa O'Neill, the Mayo mental skills coach, but alas.
Boiler, I just have to correct myself. It was 1939, not 1938. Oh, anyway.
John, and that's disappointing. John. I mean, come on.
John.
Forget about the New York event, folks. We just don't know what we're talking about. That's the fact.
That clip, Rob, is going to be taken out now, and it'll be people's ringtone. and we all know who they're going to be, Rob.
Actually, we won that final in 1939 against Meath, 5-9 to 6 points in Ballina on the 14th.
That's like something you'd read on the Mayo GA blog, John.
There you go. And Paddy McClare scored 2-1. And the same Paddy McClare, Danny Carey was reminding me, he sent me a press cutting from 1935 where the bald Paddy had declared that he'd never play for Mayo again because some reporter had called him out for having a rubbish match. And it wasn't him at all. He should have been wearing, let's say, the number 8, and somebody else was wearing it and didn't perform and blamed it on him. And,
typical media.
He demanded a retraction. He didn't get it. And he said, that's it. I'm never going to play for Mayo again. And lo and behold, he was there for 1936. So,
Boiler, is that what happened for your missing seasons there at the start of your career? So
I thought John was going to say it's because his expenses were late, so he said he wasn't going to play anymore.
I think that was the Dan O'Neill story, wasn't it? You know, he ended up with that. You know.
Right. We're get to Sunday a little bit. We'll have a full Here Comes the Weekend, won't we, Mike? You have something.
We will. Yeah, I'm cooking it up. Yeah. Among the things that I'm going to try and tease out, might even bounce it off Boiler here. I'm just thinking about guys who haven't got a run yet, Boiler, and we're getting down to the do or die time now. They may at this stage not even be in a position to get a run. We don't know. It's been locked down like the old Eastern Bloc. But if you're Owen O'Donoghue, Pádraig O'Hara or Frank Irwin, just pick those three lads out. You don't get a jersey on Sunday. Are we to fear the worst for those three? It's just that we haven't seen them. We're six rounds in. We're weeks away from the start of the championship. From what I can gather, they're all training. They're all fit, but no sign of them.
Yeah, as a player, if you don't get game time realistically in these two games, you are really up against it. Because as we know now, once the championship starts, especially if you win your games and you go through Connacht, like, you don't have time to impress in training because them boys are going to be training very, very little. You've got to try and get on the pitch now and get game time. And like I know Pádraig was late back. I think he broke a bone in his ankle in the county final, and that took a long time to heal, I think, because exactly where it was in his foot. So, you know, he's the big name there that I suppose we're talking about. And, you know, he'll be itching for game time at this stage because he'll know the boys have to come back in. He know that there's probably 7, 8 boys, 9 boys possibly vying for spots there in the back line. And he'll feel the pressure now and he'll be itching to get back in. Owen O'Donoghue is an interesting one. Obviously, came in late, hasn't seen game time yet. We saw him in the Dome that day, Mike, for a half an hour. Obviously, it was hard to impress that day because there was no Mayo player impressing. And another player we saw that day as well who was very, very quiet is Frank Irwin, and we haven't seen him since. So, look, will we see them boys over the next few days or next few games? God only knows, because what they would have got over the last 2 weeks, because there was no game and there was a break, then you do get a chance. And if there was, for example, an A versus B game last Saturday, then that was your chance. You know what I mean? And if you show that in there, then maybe you put your hand up. James Carr is obviously another fella that I think Kevin said is back training. You know, he's probably a fella that we need to see as well and needs game time as well. So, you know, it'll be interesting to see who gets in. But yeah, to go back to your question, if you don't get game time in these couple of days, a couple of games, then you're going to be worried.
Yeah. There's a Derry team coming in as well that are one of the most interesting teams in the country, Colm. So they're going to present something that's very, very different. There's a familiarity with the Kerry and Dublin fixtures, but this is interesting from that perspective.
Yeah, and the interesting thing about Derry lads is they're kind of coming down. Like, everyone was lauding them for the first couple of weeks and the first month of the league, and then they, not that they take a beating off Dublin, but they were fairly outclassed, even with the 5, 6, 7 changes that they made. So I think Derry, if they do go full strength, you could see a very finely tuned Derry team coming down here. And I know I was listening to Conor Glass earlier on and off the ball, and he was mentioning the, or talking about the prospect of a Derry Dublin League final, how that was exciting them, like, you know what I mean? So maybe Derry are eyeing up a league final and, you know, are looking to get performances in the bag now leading up to that. So I'd love to see them come down full strength, to be honest with you. I think that'll be a really, really good test for us. I'd love to see Glass out there, McGuigan, and all these guys that are the McGinnless that didn't play the last day. Ethan Doherty only comes on at half time. Love to see him start. I'd love to see them go full strength just to see what we're like against that Pacific outfit, because we know how Derry play and they're the type of team probably that we've struggled with over the last couple of years. So I think them coming to Castlebar especially would be a really, really good test for us. And not going to say to give us a barometer where we're at, but it would be an interesting test.
Yeah, and they probably have to embrace a league final at this stage, because it's going to be quite difficult for them to avoid it anyway. Like, they're on 8 points now. 10 points would get them into a final, and they're more than likely going to pick up 2 points either on Sunday or the final day as well. But obviously they've got Donegal in the first round in Ulster. So, you know, here are we talking about New York and the Rossies. Like, they've got a hell of an opener in the championship.
But I did hear the lads, I think it was on the football pod possibly last week, saying that really now at this stage, what Derry have got left to do is beat one of the big teams in Croke Park in a final. And that was one of the reasons they felt that there was shadow boxing against the Dubs in Celtic Park, that really Derry are looking to get into a league final, probably against the Dubs, and then hit them with everything they have, win a league title, and then hit that Donegal game with that word we were talking about a while ago, momentum. But as Mayo learned last year, be careful what you wish for. Just on that Mayo-Derry game as well, Rob, we will be giving away 2 tickets to the Mayo Derry game on our Facebook page. So if you're listening and you'd like to be in with a chance of winning those, just go to the Mayo Football Podcast Facebook page. Those tickets are courtesy of our friends in EBS. And I think we'll be talking a good bit about EBS anyway over the next few months, because they are now one of our sponsorship partners. But also, if you're going to New York, your mortgage is going to take a bit of a kicking for maybe a month or two.
Nice one.
So yeah, nice one. Yeah, that was one that just came to me there.
Yeah, each week we should set ourselves a target of making a mortgage related quip.
Yeah, I agree with you.
Won't they joke?
And we should have a league table for whoever makes the most.
I think
present Mike, the trophy now, lads, if you want.
Yeah, would you put your house on a beat in New York?
I've done that one already, John. Come on.
Yeah, right. Sorry.
Training ground move. But so that's EBS in Castlebar. And the guys there are really keen to get the message out. It's not just for people living in Mayo or within driving distance of EBS Castlebar. If you're listening to this pod and you have an interest in mortgages, look them up and they'll look after you. But 2 tickets to the Mayo Derry game, getting back to my original point. And the last thing I've jotted down here in front of me, just something to bear in mind, I suppose, in terms of who will be togged on Sunday. The under-20s are all gone back now to Pather Gardner's squad.
Oh, yeah.
That includes, obviously, our Jeremy Duffy from our own club here. So they're all gone back. Dara Riley from Park as well, gone back. And they're out, of course, next Wednesday night against the Rossies in the Hyde in the first round of the Connacht Under 20 Championship. So I'd say Pather Gardner and James Horn and the lads Boyle are delighted to have their guys back in harness again.
Yeah, I'd imagine so, Rob. I know obviously 3 or 4 of the boys got let go maybe a couple of weeks ago. I was very clear on this a while back. I felt they all should have been back a long time ago, even though obviously it's great for the likes of Jeremy Duffy there to get great game time. But I think the under-20s for him is the absolute place to be now, and especially with that management team that's there, just to let him bed in with the squad, because we saw it last year with Sam Callan, you know, coming in. I think he'd hardly a training session done with his team, and he's thrown into a game in the Connacht Centre of Excellence against Sligo, and really he doesn't look like the Sam Callan that plays for Mayo later on in the championship. So I think it's great them boys are back now, and look, they can focus on the 20s. And the great thing about the 20s finally is, lads, that they have a run of games now.
Yeah.
And they're really going to get a chance, like every other team is, to develop and see where it can take them.
It's brilliant, Boiler. You know, people might be frustrated, and rightly so, at the league just being dismantled over the last couple of seasons, and even the provincial championships not being the same. But if you like your floodlit football, the next few weeks, I'm looking forward to going to these games. It's going to be brilliant.
Yeah, and I saw the benefit of this format with the under-17s last year. It is brilliant because you're pretty much week on week. You might get a week off in between certain games, depending on the way the fixtures are faced. But you know, you're four games. Okay, granted, you might say that it's kind of tilted towards the stronger teams because you know you get so many chances. I think if it's the same as under-17s, the top one goes into the kind of final and two or three playoffs. So it is. I was going to say it is difficult for the likes of a Leitrim and a Sligo, but of course Leitrim or Sligo are going for three in a row at this level. So
yeah, it's difficult for us and Galway, yeah, perhaps at this stage.
So it's going to be really, really interesting. You know, really be interesting. Will be interesting to see the likes of the Galway minor team. Obviously, it's a year off this age group of 2022 and our own age group as well, that got to the final in the minor final, under 17 final. It'd be interesting to see how many of them fellas two years on, what kind of shape are they in, who's progressed, who possibly has regressed as well at that, 2 years on. So these are all interesting things and just players we can keep an eye on and see who's going well and look out for the club later on the year.
Right. That's almost it, folks. Out for the match on the night of Friday, the 5th of April, 8 o'clock. We'll say doors, 8 o'clock. I think that's the way you say it. The
door 7, Rob, to be technical about it.
Friday at 8.
Yeah, if they only come in at 8, it'll be 11 o'clock before
we
start.
Just give them boiler time to get in from the airport.
That's like turning up at McHale Park at throwing time, you know.
If we're on stage talking when you get in, just come up around the back. We'll have a chair for you, right? Let's Lovely. Not complicate this too much. We'll wave at you. We won't, don't make it awkward.
I sit down in the crowd.
Yeah, it'll be a question from the floor there.
There'll be a bottle of Bud Light with your name on it, Boiler, waiting for you.
Don't you worry. Joyce's Public House. This address takes a bit of work here. 315 West, 39th Street, Manhattan. Yeah, looking forward to that.
Pop it into Google Maps and make sure you have your data paid for before you leave, because I heard of a few lads who landed in Cheltenham this morning and it was about 4 hours before the data kicked in. They had an awful job trying to find their way around. Yeah. So don't make that mistake.
One thing, Mike, you and I were in New York the last time. John and myself and yourself were in London in 2017. We've done a few of these trips. It can be quite something to see how much the pod means to people who are overseas, living abroad. And to be honest, there will be so many people from here, all parts of Ireland and the West of Ireland, who get a chance to mingle among fellow like-minded fans, meet ourselves. It's quite the experience. I'm really looking forward to it.
Yeah, it's funny. Even since we went up on social media earlier on this evening, the phone has been buzzing away. People who have spotted it and they're heading over, or they've got relations over there. And again, I'll go back to the reason we put it on in the first place. The main reason was because people are crying out for somewhere to go. And as you said, somewhere they know they'll meet up with people from home and just be able to create a bit of an atmosphere and have a bit of crack, because New York is so big and so vast that sometimes it can be a hard decision sometimes to decide, well, where will we go? And I wonder, would this be a good idea? Whereas we've taken the hard work out of it for them, Rob. We're doing the heavy lifting and really, really looking forward to it. I thought there for a second, the way you were leading in, you were going to start telling war stories from London and New York.
Sweat beads were going down your head.
I thought what happens in New York stays in New York.
No, don't worry. We had John Casey over with us the last time as well. It's some great crack.
John, you shouldn't go anywhere without bringing John Casey with you. He's great crack and a great fella. And he has war stories to beat the band. So Boiler, no pressure. But yeah,
be ready for
JC is some man for one man.
I hope you are. Right, John, thanks. See you Sunday probably. I'll go, man.
Yeah, absolutely, yeah.
We won't.
You go to the parade, lads, is it? Or what's that?
Colm, we'll talk to you soon too. Thanks a million, Colm.
Perfect, lads. Thanks a million.
All right. That's it for now. Thank you, Mike, from studio. And we will talk to you at Here Comes the Weekend, coming up a little bit closer to the weekend. These pods brought to you by EBS Mortgages. Cannot go out there without Keane McNicholas, our editor. Thanks to all of you for listening, for signing up on patreon.com/Mayo Podcast. You know the best way to grow this community that we have? Spread the word. Talk to you soon.